uses you compared to something else using you is so fucking profound. I'm quite happy that I got that you're going to be used no matter what, as the action figure, just the way it goes. I'm happy.
I think Shannon should start this. This is good stuff. Should start the meeting, Shannon.
Right, Shannon, let's
All
trigger.
right, all right.
I don't even know what I said there. That was cool. Just gone completely, as usual. But one thing, what today is non is the non-duality meeting, and I'm so happy the grace was there that I could the sing-song of non-duality, it has its own rhythm, and I'm happy something could grasp it and open up to it, because it has really produced, as a byproduct, obviously, produced a traveling lighter for the action figure that is really like the dream of all dreams. Having it go well without much effort on your part, it's pretty great. I'm all for that. So I, for years and years, years and years, and all the years of addiction, I did not get, self can't get out of self. When I learned about self, I learned it about it as Paul, aka self. And this really was an unsuspected, like, specter in the sky of this life. Had no idea. So every attempt to get out of it was destined to fail, and I didn't see the value in the failing, because I felt not getting it was a failure, when not getting it is the, that's the bonus, so to speak, that you're never going to get it. Now, I didn't see it that way for a long period, and every time there was a defeat in my spiritual progress, I just the head just came up with, we got to do more, or just change one of the numbers, but never change the primary number one, but change another number, like a different mythology or something like that. And then one of the first big cracks in that was in recovery, where in the book it's presents, probably it's the most used word in the book, of the big book, of the first 164 pages, like the text of the big book, is the word self. It's just like everywhere. And you're driven by self, decisions are made by self, you get self-imposed calamity, self-pity, self-centeredness, self-immolation, self. And I did not see the difference between self and Paul. Wasn't just going by me, no matter. And actually, it was going by me quicker when I was trying to find out more. It was the more I tried to find out, the more lost it seemed to be. And then I was sitting, I had been in recovery for about 6 years, and recovery had used me a lot. I had been able, because I could articulate things people had trouble with, and I see patterns, not particulars, really. So, and the defeat is more of a pattern that you notice than a particular. Yeah, and particulars are used to make up stories about stuff, and the pattern is really the key. So I was reading this statement in the big book because I was leading this seminar every Monday night in San Francisco. And the seminar was on the first active or working step of the 12-step program, which was to take an inventory. Yeah. And they present it as a business inventory, and really that was very important. And then it's about an inventory on what? On what has defeated you. Yeah. So, and it states and has this incredible statement. It says, being convinced self manifested in various ways, a small s self, is what has defeated us. So right there in the book, going unnoticed quite a lot, is the description of the exact nature of the wrong. Self has defeated us. That means you're not self. Yeah. So you're in the defeated category, which is us, and the defeater category is self. Yes. Yeah. You are not defeating yourself. Self is defeating us. Yes. Very clear. And I saw self to mean something foreign to me, just was not me. Unbelievable gift, really. And then it whacked me. And then right after it whacked me, it told me I can be free from it. As sure as I felt the possibility that I'm not that, I can be free from it. And that was the answer, because I had been trying to be free as it. For years, for years, for years, for years, and with drugs, with spirituality. Unbeknownst to me, Paul was AKA self. Yeah. And so when Paul learned about self, he was learning about self as self. And we say in the big book of AA, self-knowledge avails us nothing. Yeah. Yes. And it's true in a way. So I finally, when something drops, you realize it always was there. Yeah. You were just like looking around, missing it. And that's manufactured. The missing of it is manufactured. The system is jealous of itself. It does. And it has a strong suspicion it's failed, but it will never admit it. Yeah. It just will not admit it. And it was so obvious to people who are in recovery that it's not found in our book, but it's a great statement from our community, which is self can't get out of self. Yeah, because they were witnessing that's exactly what they were doing. They got in the program, they learned about this thing of self, and maybe that it defeated them, and they were trying to get out of it, but they didn't know they were trying to get out of it as self. Yeah. For all intents and purposes, you're not a self, but you live as self. Yes. You are not a self, but there's a living as self. Yeah. And this is what was going on. So when I was seeking a solution, I was seeking it from the problem, which was the greatest disguise for the problem, being the one seeking for the solution. Yes. It's insane. So then it whacked me. And then I went on and doing whatever, and then life conspired to me to hear about non-duality. I wasn't looking for it. I thought I was more looking for Buddhism and stuff, and because I had had a run with a guru, and I didn't feel like that was the vehicle, at least for me. So I was going, and I wasn't a devotional type, bhakti. So I was looking for Buddhism, through Buddhism. Yeah. And Buddhism has a very great statement in it, which is anatta, which is non-self. Yeah. So supposedly Buddha said, well, he said millions of things, but one of the things he's attributed to saying is, events happen, deeds are done, but there's no individual doer thereof. Yeah. And this was really important, because when you've been listening to the mental logic, when the mental logic becomes aware of doing, it cannot see the doing without adding a doer. It just cannot see doing. The doing just immediately in the it means there's a doer. And the thing is, it's sort of like the attention of at the of the doing gets shifted to where its mental logic takes it. And the mental logic is bogus. It's got a lot of failed aberrations in it. And this is one of the biggest one. So if there's doing, there must be a doer. And if it isn't you and them, it's God or something. There's always going to be a doer. That's not true. Yeah. So when it recognized doing, it uses that recognition to imply the doer. You never see the doer. You think you see the doer as the body. But most of the stuff of the body, you don't call yourself the doer of. Yeah. The blood moving, the heart pumping, the bowels moving, this and that. You don't feel like you're the doer of that. Yeah. So basically, the picture of the claiming of the doing and the hearing and the feeling is presented as a body. That's all. Yes. And so now the non-existent thing that can be animated and illuminated by existence is now the premise, the head builds everything on and depends completely on it. Yeah. Is that it mistakes the existence for that which is existing through, and it thinks that which is existing. It's like you think the light bulb is the light, yes? Yeah. So the electricity turns on the thing and lights the thing in, and then there's a bulb around it. You believe you're the bulb, not the light. The head believes you're the bulb, but not the light. So you live from there. Of course. If you live from a mistake, what's basically going to happen? Yeah. If your first step in a long journey was wrong, the journey is basically going to be off. Yes. If you needed to go this way and you went that way, no matter how many steps you take, it's not going to correct the direction. It's going to make it worse. Yeah. I'm gonna walk more. No, it's still gonna. And so it starts like this, and in time, you're way, 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 way out. Yeah. So with that idea of self as foreign to me, non-duality was perfect to hear it because it explained everything that nothing was explaining to me. It explained everything that nothing else was explaining to me. It did. I remember I had this event. I was in Australia doing I had ran the course of meditation retreats, but I was interested in emotional retreats because obviously the action figure was crippled in a lot of levels in emotion. Yeah. So I signed up for this thing that was led by these people from Rajneesh, a famous guru. And there was a huge community there in Byron Bay, and they had this thing, and I went and I did it. And every day they would almost have like an AA meeting. There'd be three groups with people hovering around them, just talking and whatever. And but then in the afternoon, they'd clear the space out and put mattresses in it, and they had a DJ, and they start playing music. And they were good at inducing cathartic events. Yeah, people were flipping out, crying and going crazy. And this went on every day. And so near the crescendo, like the sixth or seventh day, I was in there and my head just flipped. And it started crying and going off. And it was saying like over and over again, I can never get back. I can never get back. Like I did the most terrible thing. I left the Godhead or something like that. And there was no way back from whence I left. And I was crying and everything. And they thought this was such a great revelation. They carried me out of there and they took me out of the process. And then Oh, I was a celebrity in that retreat for that next few days. So they were thinking, oh, great, great, great. He's gonna rocket into the fourth dimension of spiritual seeking. The seeking is gonna really go now. And then, but I had heard non-duality, and after a day or two later, because the head went, it went over all the ways it could get back, and it couldn't find a way. But the answer non-duality gave me is I never left. That was the greatest answer. So all the need and the wailing and the moaning, I can never get back, was just completely erased because I never left. Yeah. And it wasn't like, okay, we gotta wait a while and convince that which thinks it can never get back to come to where we never left. No, I recognize that which cannot get, you've never left, isn't me. It was so beautiful, literally. So all that, and there's no need to coax it in or wait for it to get it. No, it's not you. Yeah. You could just let that dinghy off the boat and just let it go where it goes. Yeah. Because it demonstrated itself to me. Its knowledge brought it to a point that it can never get back. End of story. The great hallelujah is I can never leave. Yeah. So whatever completely is drenched with the fact that it can't get back is not me. Yeah. I don't have to throw an umbilical cord to it or anything like that. Let it float around with the idea it can never get back. It's going to sink its own boat. Yeah. Yeah. So then I saw the many shades of what I'm not. I started seeing a lot of it. And then I saw that it's mechanical. Yeah. So this isn't like a romantic moment of great recognition leading to a thing. It's a mechanical act. Yeah. Whatever's happening, the head is claiming to be the one that it's happening to or somehow doing it. Yeah. Whatever it is, it doesn't choose one and then not choose the other. It claims everything to reinforce its system or its story. Yeah. Wow. So all this stuff, do I have to keep whitewashing it till it turns white or do it? No, 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 no. Yeah, it's never gonna get it. Just let that balloon go. It's never getting it. Yeah. Now, more I feel will be revealed, literally. Because you'll catch the head claiming the new lofty view you're seemingly having. Yeah, it's just gonna walk. It's gonna go in there very, like slink in there, and it's gonna say, "Wow, I can't believe how much clarity." Yeah, it's gonna do it, and I don't know how many times you're gonna catch it, but there'll be a point after catching it that something will change. It could be one time, I don't know how many, but in time, it's going to maybe take some time. And again, it's like not every camel gets its back broken with the same straw. Yes, it just doesn't. So you see, it's so obvious. If a great master that you could feel like, hey, I could really put some faith into this character, let's say Ramana Maharshi. And Ramana Maharshi says, the greatest mystery in this whole thing is being ourselves reality, reality wanting to attain reality. Yeah? Okay, so there's a statement. The greatest mystery is a lot of what I do, the head does, not me, what the head does all day. Yeah. And now, because it doesn't get that it's reality, it doesn't. It wants to make a reality, it wants to control a reality, pray for a reality, but it doesn't get that it's reality. It doesn't at all. And it's never going to get it. Yeah. And this is great news. So when something triggers it and it raises its flag, you don't salute. Yeah. You don't pledge allegiance. Just let it do its thing. And your interest is somewhere else. And it's enriching you instead of another way of fucking enslaving you. Because one of the biggest enslavements is the urge and the constancy of trying to get out of what you're not in. Yeah. You are not in a noun. You are not a noun. You're just listening to verbs that imply you are one. That's all it is. Yeah. You're listening to a verb that is a thread through the mental process, which is selfing. Yeah. Selfing implies you already are a self. It cannot make a self. There's never going to be a self. There never was a self, but it implies that there is a self. Yeah. And why? Because you start as a historical self. Mostly all day, you do not believe you're becoming self more. Yeah. So you wake up at 8, and then by 11 or 12, you become self more. No. Yeah. There's a feeling you already are a self. That's the dilemma. So the thing that it most needs is to establish something that's not true. It does quite well because you believe you're looking from a historical doer, feeler, taster, toucher, smeller, and it isn't. Yes. And the mental logic believes if there's smoke, there's definitely fire. Yeah. The mental logic believes if there's doing, there's definitely a doer. Yeah. No in and ifs about it. Why work? Why fiddle with that shit? Yeah. It's just telling you blatantly it's failed. Yeah. It's failed. Yes. That's what it does. If something continues to look for what you already are, it mustn't be you. Yes, don't you understand? That has to trigger sooner or later. Yeah. If you have felt that you have been whacked and something that you casually believe is you doesn't seem to have had any effect by it. Yeah. It's not you. Yeah. It's a simple way to see you're not it. Yeah. If it's constantly trying to get it, you're not it. Yeah. That's not you. Just like something that's not a body does not have to chant, it's not a body. It's very clear it's not a body. What's not clear is to a body identification. And it's finally figuring out the body is my problem. So it now starts chanting, it's not a body as a body. This is what it does thousands of different ways. Yeah. Thousands of different ways. It comes to a thing that it doesn't want to be something that it actually isn't. Yeah. So now it starts denying it is that and it ain't it. Yeah. So it just takes up tons of time and machinations. So this is the solution. This is the better way. Yeah. Somebody, Allie, right here, sent me someone. Remember, not the Krishnamurti, the other Krishnamurti, right? Where he talks about, yes, the easiest way is the negative way, the negating what's taken to be true. Yeah, just negate it. And really, the only negation you really you don't do it. The only negation that really needs to be applied is to the one. Yeah. Because if you try to negate doing and events happening, you're missing the point. The negation is to the noun. All the verbs are just verbing. The imaginary manufactured noun is what gets negated. by the message. Yes, it's very specific. It's not saying nothing's happening here. That doesn't work. Yeah, it's just saying things are happening, but they're not happening to a singular you. Yes. There you go. Hopefully, and it's so, that's the funny thing. You pull those things down at the slot machine, and then the three lemons show up. This is what it is. You've been pulling this thing down for years and years, and suddenly the three lemons show up. You've won. Oh. Then you see the addictive nature of the head. It will keep pulling. Yes. And you'll see, this is how, when the seeking stops, you'll see the nakedness of the emperor of the seeker. Yes. Seriously. It's difficult to see the emperor has no clothes when you're constantly shopping for clothes. Yes. Because it could be true that it has no clothes, but it needs clothes. It should have clothes. Yeah. The head will weasel in there. But in this case, the seeking gets delayed or something. And without that constant reflection, you see the nakedness in the mirror of awareness of the emperor. Yeah. You just do. And then hopefully that doesn't be, I've seen this. Then people want to constantly keep seeing the emperor with no clothes. And I don't believe that's going to happen. I believe it'll lead you to recognizing no matter how many clothes it's wearing, the emperor has no clothes. Yes? So your recognition of the emperor that has no clothes won't be based on seeing it naked. It will be based on a clear understanding. Yes? Clothes or no, the emperor has no clothes. Yeah, so there you go. Our New Year's present. Nothing, once again. The gift that keeps on giving. So this is, I don't know. I'm not hearing non-duality. And then I heard it first at a meeting. I couldn't understand the lady. She was from East Europe and it was loud, and she spoke very softly, but I felt something, so I went back, and the next time they had it in a house, and then I could hear her more. But it just the knowing was already here, yeah. And then it just led me to getting a book, and the first one I think I got was Who Cares by Ramesh Balsekar. Yeah, guess I like the title, Who Cares. Yeah. And I read that, and there was so much more going on than just reading. It was so moving to me. I decided to go to India to see him because he was 85, and I figured I'd like to see him before he passes away. Yeah, so I went there to Bombay. Didn't know anybody there. I wasn't with anybody, and that started the whole ball rolling. And then just sitting in satsangs without moving the physically at all, I was moved to a lot of recognitions. Yeah, just moved and moved. And then I feel it doesn't need to be a giant explosion because the head will claim that if too, in a sense. It was more not having the sudden whack, but recognizing what happens, like the mechanics of the head was actually more valuable than most other things. Yeah. Because it just swoops in. Yeah. And then unbeknownst to you, it's sort of taking your place. And there it goes. Yeah. And I believe. With the message of the non-duality, it will give you an understanding to see that, yeah. And once you see it or are aware of it, it will lead quickly to the mechanicalness of it and the not you-ness of it, or the notness of it. Yeah, I do. And I feel mostly because you already are what you're looking for, what's more important are the warnings about how the head is going to react. Yeah. Not how you respond, but how the head reacts. Because if you don't see the head's reaction, you're going to be looking from it. Yeah. If you don't see it, the manufacturing of the doer, the historical feeling of being a doer, feeling, if you don't see that happening, you're looking from it. Yeah. And then when you're looking from it, especially in spirituality, your looking is going to be blind. You're going to be blindly looking. Yeah. Because right where you are is it, that's where it is, and you're missing it. Just like maybe the fish misses that it's in water. Yeah. It's sort of like that. So, yeah. Come here, sit for a while. I don't care about holiday restrictions, so I don't care. Just show up. Yeah. I'm going to have a lovely dinner. It's what a great way to have a like the hors d'oeuvres of satsang first and then have a nice dinner. Yeah, it's going to be cool. And yeah, let's see. I have anything, guys? Anyone wants to say anything? What is this? Oh.
I don't see any hands, Paul. Let's see.
Well, let's keep them all down.
Why not?
One night. Get that virtual hand down. You know how many years I had to cultivate the live meetings for no one to ask any questions? And then it all got blown out of the window when Zoom occurred. And I feel Zoom is questions having a more appropriate place in Zoom, I feel, than a live meeting. Yeah. But I used to cult people who know me from the past. I used to throw rocks, little rocks. Yeah. Throw little rocks. Anyone have any questions? No. That's what I would say. Super fast. Anyone have any questions? No. All right. Let's go. The times have changed. Yes. Yeah, I become very compassionate. I got a sadistic streak, though. Streak, I do. Yeah. All right. So let's welcome and hello, Merry whatever it is for you. Steve and Mac and Steve in San Diego. Ali, we miss you, Ali, here. Zen, oh, that's me. Oh, Gregory. He's taking solace in his new apartment. You have to leave there every once in a while, is Gregory. Yes. Yes. Yeah. Get out. Take a walk a little bit. You don't worry, no one's gonna take it. It'll be still there when you get back. Yeah. Kerry in Hawaii, he's at work. Yeah. Shannon, thank you so much, Shannon, for helping us. Yeah, it's been a pleasure to know you. And always like to say the word Shannon Corkery for some reason. Yeah, it works. And Oliver, nice to see Oliver. Oliver, yeah, you don't have to throw any more logs on the fire, Oliver. Just yeah. Just, yeah. It knows what log to pick. You don't have to throw anything in there.
I kept my hand down tonight, Paul.
That's good. That's good. Yeah. It doesn't know. I'm happy now. I just joke around about questions. Questions are very nice because they trigger it's almost satsang is like something grows. Yeah. And then a question will produce a branch. Yeah. And the figure of the tree is going to be based on the questions. Yes. And the responses. So you're always going to get a tree, but they all look different based on the questions and how what direction the meeting took. Yeah? So I'm joking mostly. So the questions are necessary because we would go this way and now this way, this way. And you see, yeah. You can see so many possibilities. Yeah. How the message can look different every time, the way it sprouts and goes, which way it goes. Yes. These little events of satsang are usually, they have a whole thing going on. And it's nice to watch how they grow. And everyone who asks a question or responds is part of that branch going this way, like making a bonsai, a little bonsai thing. Yes? Yeah, it's cool. So, but sometimes, it's best, like if you're cooking, you don't need to pronounce "I'm cooking." You know, just get cooked. That's all. It's yeah. That's what we knew this lady. She used to come to the talks. I haven't seen her in a long time. And we've always, because of AA, when we go, we have fellowship after the meetings and go somewhere. And so we would go to this place and she was always waiting for us, like an awakening event, something like that. And we were sitting at this thing and it happened energetically with her. She just started, and she wanted to get out of that as fast as possible. I said, "Hey, this is what you've been praying for." Yeah, here it is. And she wanted to get out in a second. Yeah, though for years, oh yes, please let me get infused by the energy of the spheres. And it dropped in. The head was like, "No way, Jose, it was great." You gotta be careful what you ask for. It just may come around. If you're going to ask about the little things. Leave the big things to something else. Whatever ever happens, one of the great gifts of whatever happens, it tells you it wasn't necessary to happen. It wasn't necessary. That which is, there's nothing necessary for that which is. Yeah, even though you may go through stuff that seem necessary, they're not. Yeah, they still go on, but they're not. Yeah, it's like that story with the guy who, there was a famous guy, he's still alive, Tony Parsons. I liked him. He had a very good book. And he realized, I think, after the book, he talked about walking through a park and got whacked. And then a lot of people try to visit the same park and things, So we had a story about being in Walmart and going down the appliance aisle, and a toaster falls out and hits you on the head, and you seem to get it, yes? And everyone's like, "When did it happen? Wednesday, around what time? 11. What aisle were you in? The appliance?" And there they go. And they have a friend knock the toaster off. No, yeah. That was just an expression. It wasn't bringing you anywhere. It was where you already are expressing. Yeah. 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 All right. Hey, Mary, whatever. And thank you, Oliver. South Swell. South Swell. Yeah. South Swell.